We start with a story that is both operationally dramatic and historically significant. The funeral of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran who was killed in an Israeli strike, is taking place while his designated successor, his son Mojtaba Khamenei, is essentially in hiding. Three of Khamenei's sons appeared at the funeral, but Mojtaba, who is now Iran's supreme leader, was absent. The stated reason is fear of Israeli assassination. That is an extraordinary admission of vulnerability from a country that has long projected an image of revolutionary invulnerability.
Let me put that in political context, Sarah. Iran is claiming that Secretary of State Rubio pressured 13 countries to skip the funeral. That's a significant diplomatic operation, if accurate. It signals that the United States is actively trying to isolate the new Iranian leadership at the precise moment it's most vulnerable. A new supreme leader who can't attend his own father's state funeral, whose coronation is happening in a security bunker somewhere, does not project the kind of spiritual and political authority that the position requires. The office of supreme leader in Iran is not just administrative. It derives legitimacy from visible religious authority.
And then you have Trump on the same day saying publicly that the U.S. could take out Iran's leaders, but needs them for nuclear talks. That statement is doing a lot of work simultaneously. On one level, it's a threat. We could do what Israel did. On another level, it's a strange form of diplomatic signaling. We're restraining ourselves because we want a deal. But saying that out loud on America's Independence Day, while Mojtaba Khamenei is hiding in an undisclosed location, is an extraordinary piece of political theater. It also puts Mojtaba in an impossible position. Any concession to the Americans looks like capitulation to a government that just killed your father.
There's also the Trump-Netanyahu dynamic here. Trump said publicly that Netanyahu knows who the boss is, which is a remarkable statement from an American president about the leader of a close ally. That reads as Trump taking credit for, or at minimum endorsing, the strike that killed the elder Khamenei. If that's the case, the United States is more directly implicated in Israel's escalation than official statements have acknowledged.
Connecting this to the broader regional picture, the Saudi coalition is vowing what they're calling unprecedented force after Houthi threats to oil hubs. But here's the underlying problem. Saudi air defense stockpiles of Patriot interceptors are nearly exhausted after months of sustained Houthi drone and missile attacks, and the delivery pipeline for replacements is years away. So you have a coalition vowing maximum force while simultaneously running low on the ammunition required to execute that force. That's a dangerous gap between posture and capability.
And the shipping angle, CMA CGM, one of the world's largest container shipping companies, is considering scrapping the San Antonio, a vessel so severely damaged in a Hormuz missile strike in May that the CEO says dismantling may be more practical than repair. When a ship of that size gets written off after a military attack, that's not just an insurance story. That's a signal to global shipping that the Strait of Hormuz corridor has fundamentally changed its risk profile. Insurance premiums, routing decisions, and port contracts all get recalculated around that kind of signal.
Meanwhile, the United States quietly dropped its demand that Hamas disarm as a precondition for Gaza rebuilding discussions. That's a substantial policy shift. For months, disarmament was treated as a non-negotiable prerequisite. Abandoning it doesn't mean the U.S. has given up on the outcome. It may simply reflect a recognition that sequencing the demand first was blocking any progress at all. But it will draw sharp criticism from Israeli hardliners. And given Trump's comment about Netanyahu knowing who the boss is, we may be seeing the first real daylight between the two governments on the post-war Gaza framework.
Iran also offered Europe air conditioners if sanctions are lifted. And while that sounds almost absurd on its face, it's actually a clever piece of diplomacy. Europe is in the middle of a historic heat wave. Tehran's embassy in Turkey timed the offer precisely to that vulnerability. It's a reminder that Iranian diplomacy, even under a new and embattled leadership, remains tactically nimble. Sanctions relief is unlikely to follow from an air conditioner offer, but it keeps European public pressure on their own governments as a live variable.